Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Many of us, understandably, have a lot of questions about coronavirus, and it's kind of difficult, really, to pin down some of the information. Stay-at-home advice, that's fairly straightforward. But how do we protect the vulnerable, neighbours, loved ones, and how to manage those pre-existing conditions during this time? And what about collecting prescription medicines while still maintaining social distance? Well, to hopefully help us through some of these questions, I'm joined on the line by Mark Donovan. And Mark is the chief pharmacist for Boots UK, so hopefully can solve all of these for us. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Julian.
Thanks very much to speaking to Cambridge 105 Radio today. The thing we often hear on the news, the phrase underlying health conditions, but some are obvious, but when, for example, I'm a mild asthmatic, but I don't regard that as a major problem in my life. It's just fairly straightforward, just put up with it, and there we are. But somebody who has severe asthma, or other conditions, how do we pin down exactly what those health conditions are?
Yes, a number of people. In fact, around 16 million people have underlying health conditions as defined by the government during the coronavirus outbreak. And that ranges from mild asthma, as you have mentioned, to heart disease or heart failure, those with chronic kidney or liver disease, diabetics, those who have symptoms, Parkinson's disease, or a weakened immune system too. All of these would be classed in the category of having underlying health conditions. Mm. And they are at a higher risk if they were to get coronavirus of being hospitalized. So government is advising those patients with underlying health conditions to strongly follow the advice that you've just mentioned. There's a couple of other categories too. People who are over 70, people who have a BMI over 40, so obese people, and pregnant women too. All of these fall into this category, around 16 million people across the UK, that can continue their normal day-to-day life, but are strongly advised to follow the guidance that the government has given.
Yeah, and I know that one of the difficulties, of course, is if you fall into one of these categories, you're still going to need to get hold of your medication, aren't you? And that, I would suspect, brings problems in either getting to or getting your medicine from a pharmacy.
Yes, of course. It's really important that those people who are on medication continue to take their medication at this time, manage their asthma like you, or their heart disease with their high blood pressure medicines, and we're here to help as pharmacies and as Boots pharmacies to advise and support those patients in access to their medicines. You might see a few changes as you come into community pharmacy with social distancing. Clearly, you have to keep 2 meters, and we may well be limiting the number of people coming into our pharmacies, but our teams are still there to help and advise. If you do have to stay at home and you do have some friends and family that are able to come in and collect their prescriptions, well, then that's fine too. In fact, we would encourage that. But our teams and our pharmacies are set up to allow the social distancing guidance that the government has laid down to be available to each of our patients that come into our pharmacies and help you access the medicines and advice that is so necessary at this time.
I noticed that some branches are getting Perspex screens installed. And in fact, I think there's a Boots not too far from here, a little village called Sawtrey, where there's been one which was installed. I think we reported on it just the other day, and presumably that's happening in a lot of pharmacies, Boots and otherwise.
Yes, it's really important, I think, that we look after our colleagues so that they can look after our patients and our customers. And we have installed a number of these screens, Perspex screens, on our till points and our pharmacies. We've made masks available, and we have full face visors for our colleagues too, hand sanitizers and markings on the floor to allow people to maintain that 2 meter distance. And we think that's vitally important to have a safe environment for our colleagues to work in, as well as a safe environment for people to come and visit and access their medicines. So, you know, we'd ask for patients to bear with us as we have these restrictions in our stores, but they are necessary to help keep everybody safe.
On a semi-related issue to that, one of our listeners, Lawrence, says he has a friend who works in a Boots pharmacy team and, wait for it, wishes the company would allow them to yell at people or at least be more forceful with those people who are coming in and they're complaining with a dry cough and fever. Presumably those people really shouldn't be going anywhere near a chemist in the first place.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Julian. That's the most important point. If some people do have symptoms of a high temperature or a dry, continuous cough, and they think that they may have coronavirus or part of a household that perhaps has somebody who is suffering from those symptoms, we would really tell them not to come into our pharmacies. And GP practices, some of them are just receiving consultations over the telephone, and that means that some people, rightly anxious, and we understand that, are coming into our pharmacies, and we'd encourage that to stop and either ring or consult NHS 111 online. But our customers are in the main very good and very supportive to what we're trying to do and provide a continual service for providing medicines and this important service that community pharmacies up and down the UK are doing on a day-to-day basis. We do get quite a lot of abuse, unfortunately, from some people, but in the main, some people have been fantastic with us. And we have a campaign at the moment, actually, Prescribing Kindness, we're calling it. And,
right.
It's wonderful to see some of the amazing stories of rainbows being posted through our letterboxes and popped up on our windows just to help us, and that is fantastic, actually.
Yeah, the whole rainbow thing has really taken off. Something I wanted to ask you about, Mark, and this was, we're getting kind of heading towards hay fever season right now, and the differences between coronavirus and hay fever, because there are some similarities, but is there something which maybe you get with hay fever where you can say, yeah, we're definitely hay fever and not anything else?
Yes, you're right. I think at the moment, hay fever is, you know, more prevalent. It's starting clearly, and the beautiful day outside again, and the weekend will be beautiful too. But there are some real differences between coronavirus symptoms and hay fever. So hay fever, it's common to have a runny or stuffy nose. It's common to be sneezing all the time. It's common to have itchy, watery eyes, none of which is common. And in the case of sneezing and itchy, watery eyes, those symptoms don't appear in coronavirus. A temperature, a fever of over 37.8 degrees Celsius is common in coronavirus. You don't have a temperature with hay fever. A cough, as I've mentioned previously, a dry, continuous cough, is common with coronavirus, and it's not with hay fever at all. So they are some very specific differences, and certainly, you know, there's advice online, and we would be able to advise in our pharmacies for hay fever symptoms and manage that, because we know that that can be extremely difficult. There's also some really important other advice that people can follow. So when you're out in the garden, you know, wearing wraparound sunglasses, avoiding the beginning of the day and the end of the day. When you're inside, keep the windows shut. Mm. All these pieces of advice are really helpful too to manage the hay fever symptoms. Mm.
Now, I'm tempted for my last question to ask all that noises in the background, but I think I'll probably go on for the one I have written down in front of me, which is in connection with testing, because I know Boots has been involved in this in some parts of the country, but I'm wondering if you see a point, you're having discussions perhaps, where at some point in the not too distant future, somebody can turn up in a branch of Boots and say, I'd like to have a test to see if I've had coronavirus.
Yes, we have been involved in testing through drive-through facilities across the UK, and that's a really important part of what we're doing. But I think it's really important to stress that there are no tests available for coronavirus in our stores at the moment. There's two different types of testing coronavirus. One an antigen test is what we call it, is whether or not you actually have an active virus inside you, and that's the test that you get when you go into hospital or through one of our drive-through centres, and then an antibody test, and that tells you, as you said, whether or not you've had it in the past.
Because now, that's the interesting one, isn't
I'm
it?
Sure, yeah. In the future.
But we don't have any timeline as to when that might be right now.
Well, it's unlikely in the next month that these will be available, but in the future, I think, you know, in a couple of months' time, there will be a product. Now, whether the government has those and uses them for themselves to test people, or whether they would be available on the high street, we're yet to find out. But it's still a long way away until we get widespread antibody testing.
Yes, and I guess, really, when they do become available, it is... prudent and sensible to get them to NHS staff and other key workers, quite frankly, first
Absolutely.
Of all, before worrying about the likes of you and me. Well, maybe you probably deserve one, being the chief pharmacist, but people who just sit and talk for a living, maybe not. Mark, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Very useful. That's Mark Donovan, he's the chief pharmacist with Boots UK, and that takes us to 8:22.
Cambridge 105 Radio.